Wiki, wiki. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Random. I'm Kevin.
I'm Lyle.
And we're experiencing a wonderful spring here in the American Northeast.
A little bit. Mild temperatures for sure.
One day last week, we had like a 90-degree day.
It was awesome.
Like, okay, well, spring fell on a Thursday this year.
All right.
But this week, it's like 60s.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
It's nice. So if you're enjoying spring where you are, well, good for you.
Apparently, the rest of the country is underwater.
Yeah, I've heard that.
It's super weird, man. Like, see all those flash floods and stuff? And then in one place I saw, because of the rain, I can't remember where it was, but they got a ton of snow, dude.
Yeah, I work with some people in Germany, and they're talking about the snow they have in Germany.
Well, that's Germany. I'm talking about in the United States.
Yeah, well, you know, northern climes.
U.S.
tend
of
to
A.
be that way.
Yeah.
So welcome to the show. We've been talking about this subject for a long time, and this... this topic can go in a bunch of different ways, so we're not sure how it's going to go, hence the name Random, but we're going to talk about weed.
Herb.
Wacky tobacco.
The old ganja.
Mary Jane.
Tie stick.
No, that's actually a thing.
There's so many of them. Trees. That was one I always
trees.
Thought was stupid.
Yeah. So, well, it's just code, you know. So anyway, that's a huge thing now, and the reason I think this was prompted was that Congress just Jeff Sessions, Attorney General, was just talking about wanting to enforce marijuana laws federally against states who had medical whatever recreational, but Congress gave him $0 to fight that battle.
Well, it's a losing battle. I mean, broader topic, he wanted to bring back the war on drugs, hardcore. He was like, what happened to just say no? It was a terrible policy.
Right.
Nobody said no.
Right. In fact, more people said yes, because here's the thing. You know, it was 1983 or something like that.
Yeah.
During the first Reagan administration, I believe. It was Nancy Reagan's whole just say no thing.
Yep.
I was in my early 20s, late teens, early 20s at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Tell me to say no. I'm going to say yes.
Dude, I was one of the main targets of that, right? I was a young child, and we had kids.
Some would stay still are.
Right. Or we had people come into our schools, and DARE would come every year.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just say no, just say no. And I believed it, just like all the other kids did. When I got into high school, guess what I did?
You said yes.
I smoked a lot of weed. I mean, it just was everywhere, and it's what teenagers do. I mean, plus it was kind of taboo, too.
Well, that was the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's, if the government tells you not to do it and your parents tell you not to do it, that's all you want to do.
Yeah, it was really weird. And I also benefited from the, it's funny, I talked to my buddy Rob, who grew up, he's 4 years older than me. So he grew up late 80s, really in high school. And in his era, right, people that smoked weed were kind of looked at as losers. It was just
really?
Like, yeah, because at that point, I guess, that whole policy had sunken in and people were like, and if you even listen to some early NWA stuff, like Ice Cube's like, I don't smoke weed or cess, but then 1990 hit and the Chronic came out.
Changed everything.
Snoop Dogg got on the mic and everybody smoked weed all of a sudden, and that really did influence culture across the United States. I 100% believe that.
I believe that as well.
I mean, it was probably the biggest album of that.
It was 92, right?
It might have been 92.
Let me tell you how big that album
was.
Well,
it was NWA before that, and they were talking about it too. And yeah, so they came out with that, and then when Ice Cube split and all that stuff. So that was probably 92, and then Snoop Dogg, I think, was 93 or 94.
Let me tell you how big the album The Chronic was.
Yeah.
I had it.
You had it?
I'm not really a big rap guy.
Yeah.
But, dude, that was it.
It was awesome, yeah.
Yeah, there was not a weak cut on there.
And I don't think there's a track on that album that they're not talking about and or actually smoking weed.
Except for the scene where the woman goes in for the doctor's appointment. He's given
the
previous patient.
Right, that's true. Yeah, maybe that one.
There's something smoking, but it ain't weed.
Right. Go ahead and be between the sheets.
Well, yeah.
Metaphorical,
right,
of course.
So. So, obviously, what?
I said probably some stirrups involved.
Maybe. A speculum.
Yeah. Oh, wow. This just got really weird. Yeah.
Odd turn there for the show.
Yeah.
I grew up in Milford, Delaware, which is, not the end of the world, but it's right around the corner.
Right.
Okay. So we had, when I was probably 13, a Hardee's came to town. That was the first fast food restaurant. There was a movie theater in town for about 3 years.
Wow.
They closed because nobody went.
We had a Tasty Freeze.
Right. We did have a Tasty Freeze. We had a Tasty Freeze and a Dairy Queen. So if you wanted, you know, soft serve.
I didn't have any of that.
Yeah.
See, Middletown was really farmland when I moved there.
It really was.
Yeah. It was really not much.
Right. I would say probably Middletown, where you grew up, is smaller than Milford, where I grew up.
It definitely was. It's certainly not now.
But the thing is, for both of us, I think, there was really nothing to do. So if you give teenagers, you know, cars and not a whole lot of money for gas, you know, they're going to drink.
Yep.
And you know, weed was everywhere.
Everywhere.
You know, I personally knew like six guys you could get it from.
I don't know that I could probably name.
There were, you know, like in Harrington, which is 4 miles away.
Yeah, I could probably name. I probably couldn't name more people on my 10 fingers that didn't smoke weed in high school. I probably couldn't name more than 10. Just everybody did. It just was normal behavior.
Well, that's just it. I mean, you know,
it wasn't even something that we talked about as being like
a thing.
Right.
It was just the norm.
You just smoked
weed.
Well,
see, you know, you look at the movies for, you know, from the 80s for, you know, okay, the teen movie.
Right.
You had the jocks and you had the stoners and you had the goths and you had the skaters.
Right.
And, you know, there was classes like that. Dude, where I went to school, the jocks were the stoners.
Yeah.
You know, there were the FFA people were the, everybody were, you know, I'm sure there were the straight-laced kids, the brainiac kids,
there
may
were
or may
a
not
few,
have.
But even those guys, like I'd see them at a party. They didn't smoke like all the time, but I'd see them out like at a party or something. And you'd be like, oh, look, that dude's smoking weed.
There, I could name, you know, 4 or 5 people that I never saw at a party.
I mean, cops kids, like, you know, just all the time. It just was. It wasn't even something that was that...
Cops kids? Weird. Preacher's kids.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the wildest wet girls I knew were preacher's kids.
Oh, yeah.
Whole different show right
Wait
there.
Wait a minute. I'm going back into my memory banks there, or one of the banks. Anyway, ba-dum-bum. But yeah, awful. So the point of that is just that it was normal in culture when I was growing up. And to be perfectly honest, they're both passed away now. So my parents smoked weed all the time. They did. My dad was a product of the 60s. My mom was, you know, probably a little bit influenced there, but she really hit it like 1970, 71.
Your mom was a few years older than me.
She was born in 58.
Okay, so five years older than me.
Yeah. So.
That's weird that your mother is only 5 years older than I am.
Hey, dude. Is what it is. But. You know, so it was extremely normal in my household, and my dad was involved with a bunch of bikers. He never joined a biker gang. He wasn't like that, but there were some really, really shady cats that would come by. And actually, when my mom met my dad, he was living with this other dude who's also since passed away. But he was a big, like, mother club for the pagans.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have any furniture because the apartment that they were staying in was filled with bales of marijuana. So they actually had a mattress on top of a bale, and that's where they would sleep. And they had like a smaller barrel where they would sit down.
Wow.
Yeah, they just had weed everywhere. My mom said the bathroom was the only room in the whole place that didn't have weed in it. So it's pretty crazy.
That is kind of crazy.
So to be around that much, I mean, I just saw it all the time. I never understood why it was illegal. Right. Because everybody I knew used it. Like even the people that I looked up to, like my parents and their friends, and like they all did.
Right. Your role models were people
sure.
who did.
So
it was a normal thing.
I always felt like it was kind of a joke that it was illegal, you know. And in like coming into my own when I got into high school and stuff like that, actually, I took a chemistry course and I chose to do my senior project on THC, the chemical compound. And I feel like I made a really compelling, I got an A on it. I feel like I made a really compelling argument.
Teacher was a stoner.
She wasn't.
How do you know?
Because we talked about it.
Oh.
I actually became pretty good friends with her. And Miss Gleason, shout out if you're out there. But I made a really compelling argument as to why it wasn't dangerous and why it should be totally legal. Now, again, I was a kid. It was a kid's argument. But at the same time, it became very clear to me that the whole war on drugs was total BS. You know what I mean?
I do.
like in researching the history of it and Harry Anslinger and, you know, the hemp wars and all that stuff, like it just became super obvious to me that this was A, it was about money, right? So initially it was a hemp versus paper, right?
You're right.
And it was also criminalizing black life.
It was also black culture. Hemp versus, you know, hemp rope versus nylon
rope. Nylon rope, right? Of course. Yeah, but still, similar thing, like a right. monetary thing.
It was
thing.
Still all money, definitely. Right.
And again, it was black culture, criminalizing black culture, you know, trying to just lock people up. And eventually, it steamrolled into against the hippie movement, right? They just made everything illegal. I think, what was it? The Controlled Substance Act of 1967? Let me look that up.
Yeah,
Something like that.
Schedule 1, Schedule 2, everything just kind of fell onto this the schedule system. And,
yeah,
I was always amazed that...
1970.
I was always amazed that marijuana was on the same schedule as harder heroin and coke. And it's like, really?
It's not on the same schedule.
It was.
Mm-mm.
It was Schedule 1.
Yeah. You think cocaine's Schedule 1?
What is it?
Schedule 2, buddy.
Really?
100%. So is methamphetamine.
Wow.
All these. Because marijuana...
See, that was just an assumption that they were harder, nope. So they'd be...
This is how ridiculous that system is. Schedule 1 is classified for drugs that have no medical use, right? Cocaine has a medical use. Methamphetamine right. has a medical use. Opiates have... medical uses, obviously. So morphine, opium, all of those things, cocaine, they're all Schedule 2. Now, like LSD is Schedule 1, which is funny because that probably has a medical use, maybe. Ecstasy is Schedule 1. It certainly has a medical use. They've proven it. Heroin is the only derivative of opium that's on the Schedule 1 list, as far as I know, at least the popular ones. There's probably some, but
dude, heroin used to be, you know, over the counter, not over the counter, but a prescription drug back in the 20s,
to be,
I think.
It used to be over the counter. It was sold in the Sears catalog with needles.
God.
It wasn't Sears. It might have been the Sears catalog, but Johnson & Johnson had the product. You can look it up, man. There's actually some pretty gnarly ads of like heroin with like a fix kit.
Wow.
Yeah, from like the Sears catalog. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Unless I could have been duped by like some kind of fake picture, but I'm pretty sure they're real.
Fake news? Never.
Maybe.
So, you know, you bring up the medical aspects of marijuana and why it should be. So, you know, I have, oddly enough, a list of things it can actually do medically. It can be used to treat glaucoma.
Right.
That's something that we've known for a decade.
Yeah, long time.
It can reverse the carcinogen effects of tobacco and improve lung health.
Yep.
Which is kind of a weird thing. It can help control epileptic seizures.
Mm-hmm.
It also decreases the symptoms of severe seizure disorder known as Dravet syndrome.
Now, not all of those have to be, and I want you to continue the list, but none of those, all of those diseases, I guess, is for a broad term, have to ingest cannabis that's psychoactive.
Right.
Because
there's a couple different chemicals in there that, you know, you don't need the
right.
psychoactive.
So like CBDs, for example, can handle seizures, a lot of good anti-inflammatory properties. It hasn't been fully explored yet.
Right.
But there's evidence suggesting, especially in children, that it helps control seizures. And it's still, even though it's not psychoactive, it's still Schedule 1.
Right.
Any extract of marijuana is Schedule 1.
Well, CBD may also, California Pacific Medical Center in San Francisco reported in 2007 that CBD may help prevent cancer from spreading.
Yep.
Now, see, that right there, see, it's big money to fight cancer. It's not big money to cure cancer.
That's right. And there's actually some stuff that I've read, and again, you know, I can't vouch for the accuracy of this stuff. Just browsing through medical journals and articles and stuff, that they've seen cannabis extracts actually kill tumors.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a broad range of things that it's good for.
Well, this one's kind of obvious. It may decrease anxiety.
Yeah.
I can tell you for a fact it decreases anxiety.
Well, see, it increases my anxiety.
Really?
Yeah, so I can't smoke it anymore. I know I went on and on about how, I quit when I was like 18.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm well past the age of that, but
yeah.
It can also relieve pain and suppress nausea, which
yep.
is a good thing for chemotherapy patients.
Kind of, yeah, for cancer patients,
yeah.
Right?
THC slows the progression of Alzheimer's disease.
Yep.
The drug eases the pain of MS. It's kind of a cool thing. Other types of muscle spasms could be helped as well. I saw...
Just general anti-inflammatory properties.
There's that as well. Lessens the side effects from cheating hep C and increases treatment effectiveness, which is awesome.
Wow.
Treats inflammatory bowel diseases.
Wow, like IBS, obviously, but I wonder if like ulcerative colitis or something like that.
I'm kind of looking... Yeah, ulcerative colitis could benefit from marijuana use, studies suggest.
Wow.
Relieves arthritic discomfort.
Now, we're going to leave a ton of stuff off the list here.
Right, this is just part of it.
You could write a full book with just...
No, see, this says it keeps you skinny and helps your metabolism. I don't know about that.
Well...
It depends on whether or not you're the kind of dude who gets some munchies, but, you know... Well,
so that's the other thing that we were talking about before we started the show. The weed that's out there now...
Different.
Yeah, when you were growing up, it probably was almost non-existent. When I was growing up, it was only in the pages of High Times magazine.
Oh, yeah.
And Amsterdam.
The stuff had red hair on it.
Yeah, I did. You know? I'd flip through these magazines. And the funny thing about High Times, if you've never read the magazine, is it literally was sold just like a porn mag. There was like there was a cover on it, too, to block it off. And you opened up the middle of it, and there would be a centerfold thing that you could pull out and like hang on your wall. But it was just a big picture of a bud,
yeah, or a bunch of buds,
or a bunch of them, yeah, or a grow setup, or you know whatever. And yeah, I always found it fascinating. But the real messed up thing is, okay, we're talking about you know kind of funny, ha ha ha. People go to jail. They have gone to jail for very long periods of time. I think Vegas had. Like one of the strictest laws in the country. And at one point in the 50s, there were mandatory minimums.
Oh, yeah.
For possessions. I mean, there probably still is for super large amounts.
And it tends to break along racial lines as well.
It sure does.
African Americans get much more time than white Americans do for the same crime.
I mean, that's just probably...
It's not just weed, it's across
the board.
Right.
Which is a totally additional topic that we could get into. But, you know... Just reading through these mandatory sentencing laws. So in 52 and 56, increased punishments were enacted by the U.S. Congress in the Boggs Act of 1952 and the Narcotics Control Act of 56 that made first time cannabis possession offense a minimum of 2 to 10 years with a fine of up to $20,000. 2 to 10 years.
A lot of jazz musicians.
First time possession, you're a felon for 2 years.
Wow.
Minimum. That's crazy, man, to lock somebody in a cage for possessing a plant.
There are a lot of people right now who are in jail for that plant. Let me finish this list.
Yeah, go for it.
Improves the symptoms of lupus. See, it spurs creativity in the brain, which isn't really a health benefit, but, you know.
I don't know.
It's probably helped write a lot of movies and songs.
Yeah.
Marijuana might be able to help with Crohn's disease.
Wow.
These things are being studied right now. Pot smooths tremors for people with Parkinson's. I've seen that video where the dude is just all over the place. And I think he ingested. I don't know that he smoked it.
I think he ingested it.
He ingested it, and then literally 5 minutes later, he was almost...
Completely calm.
Completely calm. Yeah. No tremors, none of that sort of thing. Now, don't know if it's a setup, but you know, I would have to imagine... I mean, the guy really was showing Parkinson's tremors, so...
Well... Are you done with that list?
No.
For good sake.
Could help. Dude, that's what I'm saying. This is the possibilities are endless here, but it's still Schedule 1. No medical properties at all of this.
It's ridiculous.
It can help veterans suffering from PTSD.
PTSD, of course.
Can help protect the brain after a stroke.
Of course.
Could help protect the brain from concussions and trauma.
Any kind of swelling.
Could help eliminate nightmares. Reduces the awful pain and nausea from chemo, which we talked about, and also stimulates the appetite. It can help people trying to cut back on drinking.
Yep. Well, they've seen it in these places where they've legalized it. Opioid overdoses have gone way down dramatically.
Right.
You know?
So that's...
That right there.
Should be enough.
Yeah.
So that was 23 medical benefits. Well, 22 medical benefits and one creative benefit.
Right.
It's a whole different thing, but, you know.
Yeah, but and the other thing that they're seeing in places like Colorado is that drunk driving's way down.
Well, that's one of the reasons that you know people list as an argument against legalization is that it would create a significant financial burden on law enforcement due to the need for special training, et cetera, to be able to identify marijuana users who are driving impaired.
Yeah, I would argue that they're not impaired. They've done studies on people driving on weed versus being sober and versus being
drunk. If anything, they're concentrating too much.
The people that were on weed were on par with people that were sober, and the people that were drunk obviously were way down the list. And the thing is, if you're going to argue against traffic, I don't care about training of law enforcement. They need to focus their training elsewhere. They're shooting kids and stuff. I don't know if you saw that. 15-year-old.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Car was driving toward me. Then it was driving away, so I fired a bullet into the passenger's.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Whatever, dude. I think it was a rifle, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you doing? You shoot on a car full of kids.
Car full of anybody.
Still. It's just nonsense. You cannot justify that.
Different show.
Yeah. Anyway, what was I saying? They should have their focus elsewhere. The biggest threat on the road today is the damn phone, man.
It is.
It is. They've shown studies that you're 2-3 times worse off than being drunk if you're texting, because you're not looking at the road.
Yeah.
At least if you're one eye in it, you got one eye.
Right. Because you're
on the road.
You're trying to stick
to that
line. You're
trying to stick between those lines.
Yeah.
You know. But if you're staring at that stupid phone, man, and I'm telling you, man, on my motorcycle, I see it so much. You're in your car, you don't really pay attention as much, but one on the bike, I'm hyper alert.
Sure.
And I'm also just kind of curious if people are, and almost every single time I see somebody.
Plus, you're also sitting up a little higher, too.
Yeah, I guess you are. Yeah. But almost every time I see somebody swerve or like kind of drift into a different lane or whatever, they're not drunk. They're on a damn phone.
You know, well, texting on the phone or
looking
at whatever.
Reading something or, yeah, whatever they're doing. That really scares the hell out of me because.
Yeah, me too.
They're not looking, you know? So don't come at me with the impairment argument. I get that they could try to use that. The other argument that they come up with is kids. We don't want kids doing it.
Right.
Well, we don't want kids doing alcohol either. And we have regulations for that. Some kids violate that. Sometimes they get caught.
Honestly, though, I think that, you know, if somebody's going to smoke weed, they're going to smoke it regardless because it's readily available.
It is now. Yeah, certainly. Yeah. It would be more difficult to get if it was as highly regulated as alcohol is. Far more difficult to get.
And one of the other arguments is that the Mexican drug cartels would continue to import it illegally for the people who couldn't.
Did that happen with alcohol when they reintroduced that? Did the mafia continue to super profit, or did they eventually get faded out by major corporations?
Well, they just switched their focus to something
they did.
Else.
They did gambling. Something else, which is what the cartels will do.
It was,
right, which is exactly what the cartels will do.
Yeah.
Besides, those cartels are doing just fine. Yeah, all of those drug kingpins and stuff, they're doing just fine. The argument against legalization because they might benefit is ridiculous. Have you ever seen some of those mansions in Medellin?
They're huge.
Yeah. Pablo Escobar and El Chapo, they're not hurting for
funds. By the way, I saw that that Escobar's son is suing, Netflix?
For
$30 billion because, blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. One of the other reasons for against legalization, stone driving and other dangers could be increased. Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
But we have test cases now in Washington and Colorado, and that just isn't happening.
Right. It's not going to increase because people are going to do what they're going to do. They're doing it now. If they're driving stone now, they will continue to, but people aren't going to all of a sudden start smoking weed and go driving.
Right. Now I can smoke weed and drive now because that's totally legal.
Persons under the influence of marijuana will present a risk on job sites.
Nope.
They'll still, if they're smoking weed now before work, they'll continue. Nobody's going to start that.
Yeah, this is the whole thing, man. I mean, I don't necessarily believe in marijuana addiction because it's not physically addictive. We know that that's true. But certainly people can overdo things, right? Alcohol can become physically dependent, but even before that happens, you can certainly be drinking too much, right? And it could be affecting your life.
Sure.
That can happen with a lot of stuff. You can eat too much damn pie, and pie's your weakness, and it's affecting your life, or whatever it is, whatever your vice is, right? So the argument that somebody might abuse something is not a reason to make it illegal.
Well, any more or less than they already do. Because like you said, within...
Even if they're going to...
5 minutes of this house,
yeah,
we could find all the weed we wanted.
Yes.
Any of the drugs we wanted.
And it's decriminalized in Delaware.
It is. It's a misdemeanor. It's like a traffic
ticket. It's not a misdemeanor. It's a ticket.
Yeah, it's not even that. It's a $100 fine.
Right. They'll take your weed and they fine you $100. Up to an ounce. If you have more than an ounce, apparently.
Then it's distribution weight.
I think it's still a felony, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're actually having a problem in Delaware now, if you heard this or not, but people with open carry and legal concealed carry still face like a major felony if they get caught with a decriminalized amount of marijuana but have their weapon on them.
Hmm.
So they're still in possession of a firearm with possession of marijuana, which is still a felony in the state. So they're trying to figure that out now.
And there's a bill in the in running through the committee right now in Delaware for recreational use.
Yeah, they should just legalize it.
Well, they're not going to. Carney's against it. The governor's against it.
Yeah, but I don't know if he gets enough pressure.
There's not enough information yet to go. We want to see what the other states do.
He's such an imbecile because here's the thing. If Delaware beats everybody else to the punch around us,
then you get some tourism money out of the
deal. Maryland's going to hit us up. Dude, people from Virginia will totally come up here to buy legal weed. 100%.
Yeah, Jersey, PA, New York.
Maybe New York. Yeah.
Well, dude, people, I don't know if you've heard about this. We have an Apple store in the local Newcastle County Mall, Christiana Mall here.
And it's tax-free.
It is tax-free. So busloads of people get on a bus in New York City and drive down to this mall so they can go to the Apple store.
Yep.
Go to is a Windows store still there?
It is.
There's also, a Macy's.
Yeah.
You know, people just go and shop at this mall tax-free. Now, the prices aren't, you know, discounted, but you're not paying tax.
You're not paying tax. In New York, that's a big deal.
Right. So if you're buying, you know, 10 iPads for your office or whatever, the tax you save on that is significant. You know?
Even if you're buying just a single Mac.
Yeah, you know? It's true. So if you're gonna come down here for that and you can go right next to the Mac store, right?
Yeah.
Get some
herbs.
To the weed store in the mall?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. I mean, it just makes sense. The Delaware would be flooded with cash. We would have so much money.
But Delaware and the power structure here is too stupid for that. They'll wait for Pennsylvania and New Jersey to legalize it first, and then it'll be too late. Just like they did with gambling.
Yeah, probably. And I think it's really unfortunate. And the whole way they took on poker, too, was ridiculous. And they really screwed that all up. They could have had a gold mine in online poker, but they didn't.
And the whole thing, same thing with DraftKings. They couldn't... Yep. FanDuel, they couldn't reach an agreement to the cut they would take.
It's too small to actually consider the state for DraftKings and FanDuel to even think about, really.
Right.
It's just such a small number of people that are just like, eh.
Yeah, exactly. So meanwhile, we get caught up in that ish, right?
We do, 100%. But the point is that legalization is obviously, I mean, everybody I know thinks this way, and I realize I'm surrounded by people that are fairly like-minded, but we now, for the first time, have a pretty steep majority of people in the U.S., like
61%.
Oh, was it 61?
I think so,
it was over 60 anyway, that are in favor of legalization. So I don't know how long the government can keep pushing back on this. The thing that really pisses me off, you know what really grinds my gears, Kevin?
What's that?
Is that they continually come out, and people like Jeff Sessions, they continually come out, right, the DEA, and go, this is dangerous. And we're like, stop. Stop treating us like children. And what I really don't understand is why Republicans who are in favor of small government, right? Don't
states' rights.
Yeah, don't come into my area. Don't, you know, tell me what to do. Get your hands off my guns, right? Are in favor of this policy. Is it fallout from Reagan? Is it
yeah, but
does it go way back further than that?
Even then. I mean, what is the difference? I mean, I don't understand why that party has that stance on that issue.
I don't either. Like, with abortion rights, you have a religious aspect to it. So I get that. And it's a very complicated issue.
It is. And that's a show we probably will never do.
It's interesting to talk about, but I mean, there's really no solution to it. It's a super complex issue. There's so many variables in that. So versus weed, which I think is pretty much cut and dry.
And hung upside down, yeah, and then is. Cut, and then enter dry,
and then roll it,
put
it
into
smoke
bags.
It.
Yeah. Anyway,
puff a blunt. so goofy. But you know, so that really makes me super angry that they're telling people what to do still. And honestly, this applies to all drugs. The drug war has failed completely. It has cost us numerous of trillions of dollars. I don't even know the number. right? If you consider everything involved, whether it be military efforts, whether it be the DEA, whether it be prisons, right? The only people for this kind of stuff now are lobbyists for those organizations, right?
Because it all comes down to money.
It does. So, the private prison industry, they're super anti-legalization.
You know what? I kind of thought I heard one of Trump's campaign things of being ending that.
Private prisons?
Or was that Hillary's?
That was Hillary.
Hmm. Yeah. That's unfortunate, because that would be great to end that shit.
Private prisons scare the hell out of me, dude.
I know.
You can't make up. There are certain things, and we're going to take a left here, or a right, depending on what side you're on. I think capitalism has a limit. And the limit is, I don't think you can fully capitalize or monetize in a free market things that are absolutely necessary, like medication. Like, so pharmaceutical industry, it's really messed up. Healthcare in general. It's really messed up because it's in a free market. That is not okay, because people
need... It's in a free market, but not free enough. You know what? Treat health insurance like car insurance.
Well, here's...
I'm going to buy the general's insurance, because you know why? I'm 22 years old. I don't need all this huge insurance.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a 22-year-old male. I don't have to worry about buying birth control yet.
Yeah, the problem with that is health insurance gets super complicated versus a car, right? Car insurance is pretty easy. Health insurance is, like, super deep.
But it's not really.
No, it is. I mean, well, it is. They've made it super complicated.
The real problem
with that issue, and we can take this into a different show. The real problem is that issue is we've associated the term healthcare with health insurance.
Right.
And they are not even remotely the same thing.
They're not, but they're in the same bucket now because...
They shouldn't be, is my point. They really shouldn't be. But anyway.
Dude, if you and I ran the world, this shit would be a lot different than it is.
It would be. But private prisons falls in that category, too.
It would be awesome, though,
it would be. It would be. There would be water parks in every backyard. That's my promise. Lyle Conkiel, 2020. Like, what was it?
A pot in every chicken?
Yeah, chicken in every pot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm putting a water park in every backyard.
I said it the way I meant to, by the way.
Oh, right.
A pot in every chicken. Because we're talking about weed. All right, so how many states are there now that have progressive weed laws, right?
Are we counting D.C.?
We have to, yeah, because they get some electoral votes, right?
Yeah, they get three.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're not a state, but, you know.
They really should be a state.
No, it's a city, dude.
It's still... Then why is it separate from Virginia then?
I don't know. Anyway.
It's really ridiculous.
So you've got Maine, recreational use law has taken effect. That's going on right now. Massachusetts has a law that's in effect.
For
recreational.
Nice.
D.C., of course, you just mentioned. Colorado has been legalized for medical and recreational use. They were the vanguard. Washington State. Recreational and medical. Oregon for medical and recreational. Mm-hmm. Nevada... their recreational law has taken effect. California is legalized for both medical and for recreational. Alaska, same way. So then
Alaska actually has been for a while. I remember watching those like Alaskan State Trooper shows.
Yeah.
And they'd catch a dude with weed, and they'd be like, all right. And I was like, really? He's not going to arrest him? And then I looked online, and I was like, holy cow, it's legal.
Dude, that's the freaking wild frontier out there.
I know. Yeah, they got to bust people from smoking weed.
That's kind of cool that you got that many states who are, you know, completely, you know, walk into the store,
buy
paraphernalia.
Right? There's a lot more that are medical.
Right. So you've got Montana is medical, right? You got North Dakota, Minnesota, Michigan, Illinois, Arizona, New Mexico, Arkansas, Louisiana, Florida. Did I mention Michigan? Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, Maryland, Delaware, Jersey, let's see, Connecticut, you got Rhode Island, you got New Hampshire,
wow,
and you got Vermont. And did I say Hawaii? Hawaii's in there
you
as
did.
Well.
Did you mention Florida?
I did. I said
so Florida is medical?
Florida is medical. Let's see. Yep, legalized medical.
So one of the real so that, that's really revealing or really relieving rather. One of the more disturbing things that happened in Florida, and there's been a lot.
Some happening right now.
Probably. Right. Have you ever, there was a, God, I don't remember what it was. I think it was NPR. Did a, I believe it was a podcast, but it could have been a radio show too, called the Oxy Express. There's been several documentaries about it too, where... some deregulation happened in Florida. I don't know the full history of what actually took place, so take what I'm saying with a grain of salt, but some deregulation happened in 2009, 2010, something like that. And they started opening pain clinics down there where you could just come in and say, my back hurts, and the doctor would write you a script for oxys, right? The problem was they didn't have any regulation and no database. So you could go next door to the next place.
Oh, good God.
Go, my back hurts. And so dealers would come from all over the U.S.
Yeah.
They'd drive, and they called it Oxy Express was 95, right? Up and down the East Coast.
And they'd bring busloads of people to say their back.
They would bring tons
hurt.
Of people, right? They would come. They would all get scripts. They would either pay them off in drugs or give them a little bit of cash. They'd go back to New York or Maine or wherever and make a killing. And then do it again the next week.
Yeah, what is it, $20, $30 a pill?
They would sell it for that. Yeah, I have no idea. But obviously, this was one of the catalysts for the explosion in an abuse of opiates in this country, right? Florida really effed us, man.
Yeah.
Like it, you know, that's why deregulation scares me without a full market study. Because we really don't know. And even like deregulation in a single state can have a massive effect on the rest of the country. And look where we are now with this opiate crisis.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, it's everywhere. And I'm not saying it wouldn't have eventually gotten there anyway. I don't know. Like, people like their drugs, and they seemingly like heroin. And
they seem to not like pain.
They don't, yeah. Well, these people aren't in pain, dude. And that's what's really unfortunate is people that do need these medications for pain, like my son just had surgery.
Right.
Right. He had both of his ankles worked on, and he's in two casts. He's 13.
Doing all right?
Yeah, he's doing well. But they wrote him a script for oxycodone.
Right.
And they were like, you have to get this filled today. Because if you don't, the law changes. Apparently some law changed. And every script has to be in paper.
Right.
You have to take it to them with an ID.
They a lot of control things
are like
that.
They have to verify it, all this kind of stuff. But here's a 13-year-old kid who actually needs this medication.
Right, and you got hoops to jump through.
Right, and they handed it to me at like 3 o'clock, and the pharmacy closed at 5 where I was. I was in Nemours.
Right.
So it was either that or try to race all the way down here.
To go to Walgreens or
something. Right, or whatever.
Right.
So it's a huge pain in the ass for people that actually need it, but it's not stopping people who don't need it that want it from getting it because they couldn't get Oxy anymore, right? They messed up, what was that, hippie heroin? Oh, man. So there was Percocet. It was Oxycontin.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Quaaludes.
They changed the consistency of the drug. So when you tried to crush it, now it turned into like a mushy gel.
Okay.
So you couldn't crush it and sniff it anymore.
Right.
And then they cracked down on all these, you know, fake prescriptions and all these people that were selling it. So these people who were hooked on opiates.
Now are heroin users.
They just went to go get heroin. Right. Because if they don't take it, they get super sick. I had a very close friend of mine that got hooked on oxys. He met a girl who was working in a doctor's office, and she stole a prescription pad.
Yeah.
And they started writing scripts and living like a king and a queen, right? They got caught, of course. But after,
as you tend to do.
After like 2 years, they got caught. But he had a very serious opiate addiction at that point. And he got caught, and obviously she got fired, and they took the script pad, and he had no way to obtain them.
Right.
So he went and bought heroin. It was either that or have the worst flu. He told me it's the worst flu you've ever had in your life. He says, you had this horrible flu. And you have a choice to make. You can go through this horrible flu for a week, or you can sniff a little bit of this powder and you feel totally fine.
Right.
He's like, so what do? When you have the flu, you take medicine. Well, this was the only thing that was going to make me feel better. He's like, I didn't want to do it anymore. I didn't even really get that high, but I wasn't sick.
Just keeping the monkey off.
Right. I mean,
if you can just continue to chip.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't even chipping. He was just sniffing it. Chipping
right.
is injecting it just,
right,
under
just
the
a little
skin.
Bit, yeah.
Right.
Skin popping, as they say.
Yeah. So, you know, it becomes this, you know, rabbit chasing its own tail. You know what I mean? Is that the expression?
Dog, I don't think rabbits chase their tail.
Okay, dog chasing its own tail, whatever. Right. Rabbit chasing a carrot on a stick in a circle. Never mind.
What the hell are you talking about?
I'm trying to work the
metaphors
up.
Yeah. And, yeah.
But the point is, there's really no way out of that, because where's he going to go? He just got arrested.
Right.
Is he going to go to a clinic? Maybe. If you're lucky, that guy goes and gets that help. But he knows what he's going to have to go through when he goes there.
Right.
So, and there's no real good avenues for these people to get out of that world because this is so stigmatized.
Did he end up all right on the other end?
He did. Yeah, he ended up getting help and going through a program. And thankfully, the state has some pretty good laws around your first offenses when it comes to this kind of stuff. It's a very serious felony, forging a prescription.
Sure.
But he actually got it knocked off his record because he completed the program, went through a state clean. So that's pretty significant.
Yeah.
Get a felony knocked out, completely gone. I think he's on probation for like the rest of his life, though.
And rightly so.
Maybe, yeah. But the point I'm trying to make is, how did he get hooked? He got hooked on Percocet. Where'd that come from? Came
Doctor.
From the biggest drug dealers in the world. Pfizer.
Pfizer, you
know, or insert, you know, pharmaceutical company here. And those are the ones that really don't want weed legalized because it would knock down their Oxy sales and all that other pain medication. It would knock it totally away. If you don't need a script to go buy weed, I don't need pain medication anymore.
Right. Well, see, and you know, that's the whole thing. It all comes down to money.
Yeah,
it comes down to money for the DEA because marijuana is the most used drug in the country.
Not even close. Well, coffee might be up there if we start.
No, I'm talking about a legal drug.
Okay.
I'm talking about that the DEA is going to enforce.
Sure.
So if marijuana becomes legal nationwide, their budget gets chopped by, what, half? More?
Maybe more.
Right. So then you've got all these unemployed agents. So they're like, oh, we've got to keep it Schedule 1 because we have to justify our existence. Right?
Yeah, but see, that's government waste of money.
Of course
Again,
it is.
Again, why aren't Republicans against that? I really don't understand it.
I don't know.
It's pretty obvious to me.
So, you know, the prison system, you're talking about people that are in prison or clogging up the courts on minor drug offenses. A lot of those get pleaded out anyway, pled. Anyway, they get taken care of before they get to court.
They shouldn't be.
Right. They shouldn't even be in there. So Delaware's taken care of that. A lot of states have taken care of that, obviously. So it all comes down to money, though. Drug companies and their lobbies still want a pain medication that is not free, certainly, but certainly not to the point of what Pfizer and AstraZeneca are selling.
It's easily accessible. So we don't need them.
Exactly. So they're going to lobby against that.
Plus, you just named, what was it, 23?
22 in a
creative one.
Yeah.
So 22, and there's probably way more than that.
Yeah.
Dude, all those companies have stuff for that. They're like, oh, what you got, Hep C? Yeah, well.
You got this.
Yeah, well, what you got?
You need this, and this.
Right. You know, they're trying to push it, man. So let's not kid ourselves here. This is not about kids. It's not about, you know, driving impaired. It's not about safety on the streets and reefer madness. It's about money.
You know what? I honestly think there are people who think that it's addictive and think that it's bad.
They do.
But they're old.
Yeah. There's people that think that sex is bad, too. That, you know, eating pork is bad or, you know, cursing.
I know
or,
this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's my cousin.
Oh, yeah.
He's religious.
Yeah, that's right.
The whole thing. Yeah. All of it's bad.
Yeah. I thought he was your uncle.
No, he's my mother's cousin.
Oh, okay.
But he's like 80.
Yeah, he's much older than you.
So he's my uncle, but he's my cousin.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just
And I can talk about him because I know he'll never ever hear this.
He'll never ever
I mean,
listen
I dig
to
the
it.
Guy, of course. He's family, but you know.
Yeah, he's a little wonky. We all got those people in our family.
Absolutely. One of these days, we're going to be those people.
Probably, yeah. Well, them kids down there.
Get off
back
my lawn.
Back in my day.
You bastards.
Yeah, so it's really frustrating for me, Kevin. It has been for a long part, like a long period of my life. Like, I've been passionate about this issue since I was a teenager.
A wee lad.
Yeah, 15, maybe? 16? I probably started getting into it, started really, like... I became a member of NORML, the week I turned 18.
National Organization for the Reformation of Marijuana Laws.
Yeah. I became a member of NORML.
Did you get a t-shirt?
I don't know if I got a t-shirt.
With the funky Ann?
I don't remember. I know I had a button.
I bet you did.
Yeah. But it's just, you know, the MPP, the Marijuana Policy Project, you know, there's a bunch of those organizations that I've always been really supportive of. I just find it very unfortunate that we're still... so easily fooled. We're starting to come out of this one, but all those other drugs have the same exact issue. Now, some of them are more dangerous, right? But don't give me the danger argument when you let people drink like a fish.
Right.
Sorry. It's just a huge, I mean, you let people smoke cigarettes. Don't tell me it's dangerous. And you let people do those things. Because those things are hella dangerous.
Oh, you know what? I quit smoking. It's 10 years ago this month, yeah. By the way.
Congrats,
it's been 10 years, dude. Give me a fist bump on that. Yeah, okay, fingers. Right. Yeah, 10 years ago I quit smoking. All right. And I haven't paid any attention to what the cost of cigarettes has gone up to. But, dude.
It's high.
Yeah, I was looking. It's like $8.50 a pack or something.
It's probably, I don't think it's that much here.
No,
it's pretty high.
Wherever I was, I saw it. I think I was in Philadelphia. It was $8.50.
It might
a pack.
Be in Philly. Yeah.
I was like, good God.
Yeah.
So you're going to pay $85 for a carton of smokes?
Dude. Every once in a while, I go into the that cigar shop in People's Plaza.
Yeah.
Is that like a cigar? Maybe twice a year or something like that. And every time I'm in there, there is some super old lady or super old dude pulling out a stack of cash to buy, you know, 16 cartons. Yeah. And they always buy the generics. And I'm like, because I know they taste like crap. You're just feeding the habit at this point.
All right. Right. Right.
You know? Yeah. I find it fascinating, you know, that they're still doing that, particularly when they're, God, this stupid phone, man.
Would you turn off the,
I can't reach it. I can't. It's my case broke and I can't get my finger in there to flip the switch now. Anyway, yeah, so don't give me that crap about safety, okay? You let people eat as much sugar as they want. That's super horrible for you.
Sure.
You know, you want to throw kids at me? Yeah, kids can drink alcohol, too. They can smoke cigarettes, too. We have ways to regulate that. Kids are always going to get around it, and I got news for you, parents. Kids are doing drugs, too. They're doing all kinds of super hard drugs. They're smoking PCP. They're shooting heroin. They're doing ecstasy. You know?
Not every kid.
No, not every kid, but kids do it.
But, you know, my son Robbie, he's always been very health conscious. He eats horribly, but, you know, if he was drinking or using drugs, he would tell me.
Right.
I don't know, most every parent says that, but the kid that he is, in the conversations he and I have had about everything, he would tell me.
He would say something?
Yeah. And he tells me that, you know, he enjoys being the designated driver for everyone else. He went to senior week. Everybody was drinking and drugging, and he was just driving people to where they needed to be. And he's like, I just enjoyed not being in that
smart.
Boat. Smart. So I'm really happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my 15-year-old, I think, is going to follow the same path. The jury's still out. He's only 15.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes I kind of wish, he's like, Robbie, dude, relax and have a beer, dude.
Right, have a beer with me.
You know?
Yeah.
Something. But
I said it last time we did a random. It was one of the coolest moments of my life. My dad had me a beer. Now, I was young.
Right.
Right.
But, you know, I don't really, I mean, if he's intent on staying the straight and narrow in that regard, I'm not going to drag him in to something that, you know, he may actually like beer. And, I hope he does at some point, you know, as an adult, say, you know, I enjoy having a beer. Whether or not he uses any sort of drug, it's probably best if you don't.
I don't think there's any problem with weed, everything else.
Yeah. You know, but, you know, I think that, you know, some kids are, some kids don't. From what he says, a lot of the people he knew in you know, high school that, you know, went to this, are going to the same college he is, about half do and about half don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's probably about that. Almost everybody drinks.
Right.
You know, when they hit 21, one of his best friends, his roommate next year, is going to be, he's already 21 now.
Right.
So, you know, he's got beer all over the place.
Right.
You know, but.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not like you have to wait until you're 21.
No.
Yeah. So that's my point. All of these arguments against the legalization of just drugs in general really fall apart when you examine them. And in fact, controlling and regulating them would eliminate a lot of the violence that surround the drug markets, the black markets, and maybe even obtaining the drugs too. Now, you're going to get some bad cookies, right? And one of the worst things about the legalization of marijuana is they didn't change the federal banking laws.
Yeah.
So they, I don't know the details of it, but I do know that they have to keep large amounts of cash on hand. So it's actually created a secondary market of like bodyguards and people to control.
Armed security.
They have to go through an arm and a leg to actually, you know, deposit this money in a bank and try to turn a profit as an actual business, pay taxes, all that kind of stuff that you have to do.
Right, pay employees.
As a legal business. So, and don't kid yourselves, these businesses are legal. And one of the shameful things that our government has done since these medical marijuana things, or legalization of medical use of marijuana in the States, is that the federal government has raided these pop shop, these pot shots shops, right? Right. They're like two people that are, sorry, my stupid phone. Two people just trying to earn a living.
No, no, your case is broken.
Yeah, well, at least if it's over there, it won't make too much noise.
There you go.
People just trying to make a living, or somebody who's farming it, right? Legally.
Right.
By their state laws, legally. And this is why we have states, right? So the federal government cannot, you know, supersede state power. That's the whole point.
The whole point.
Is the state goes, no, 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 you don't have total jurisdiction over me. Now, I understand there are some federal laws, but this one doesn't make sense. When something becomes legal in a single state, you don't see them raiding, prostitution shops in Nevada, right? They don't do that. You know what I mean?
I'd like to watch it if they did.
It'd be pretty wild.
It would be like when the,
but that's a,
when they raided Littlefinger's thing in Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, that's right. It's one of the shameful things, and they've done a lot of things, but one of the shameful things
that hasn't happened in a while, though. I think Obama stopped doing
that. He did. He cut it back. He said, we're not going to enforce this law.
Yeah, I don't know.
But Sessions wanted to bring it back. That's exactly what he was saying.
Right, right.
You know?
But there's no money for it.
And he actually compared, and this is why you can't have idiots in government, and there's so many. He actually compared marijuana to heroin. It was like, you know, he thought they were roughly the same thing. These
old, out of touch people don't know.
Totally misinformed or completely corrupt. Either way, he doesn't belong as an attorney general.
The thing is, find the uncorrupted politician that could reach that level.
You're not going to find one of those, but at least you could find one that's informed. You know,
maybe.
You know, at least find one that's informed. I think Holder did a good job, right?
In a lot of cases, yeah.
You know, I didn't mind. I didn't mind him so much. He seemed to be, at least, forthright with when, you know, things got...
The whole Fast and Furious thing is a little gray.
It
but,
is.
You know.
Yeah. I don't know. Either way, though, you're right. But that's not an excuse to not push for that. And also, it's certainly not an excuse for him to say things like that. Like, it's one of the most ridiculous things to have the top law enforcement official in the country.
He might as well just say, the sky is chartreuse.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's just,
it is. Can't you see it?
It's completely absurd.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
so we went through the list of reasons that people don't want it legal.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at the legal the let's legalize it list.
Yeah, TNA. Right.
What's that?
Bong hits are great. 420 becomes a national holiday.
That's true.
Cheech and Chong national monument.
Right.
There's another thing I wanted to say before we get to that.
Yeah.
We obviously there's a lot of movies surrounding drug culture. Right, tons of them. Here's something that I thought about in the shower, actually. Shower thoughts.
I don't want to picture
that. Just picture the visual. I was actually touching my ass at the time. and Kevin's seen my ass.
It's not pretty.
Oh, yeah,
it's
not. You love it. I was thinking about this. Out of all the movies that were about drugs, or at least had drug culture in them, name one movie that was limited to marijuana that went way south, right? So we got the cocaine ones.
Oh, yeah.
Blow and Goodfellas, you know, at the end when he's all paranoid. There's tons of those. There's tons of heroin, Rush, right? Tons
alcohol
of, tons
movies.
Of, tons of stuff. Yeah,
know,
yeah, yeah. Tons of all
leaving
that stuff.
Leaving Las Vegas.
The weed movies are always comedies. It's Dazed and Confused. It's...
Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah. What's the one with Chappelle? come on.
Half-Baked.
What a great movie.
And then there was, back in the day, you know, Fast Times at Ridgemont High with Sean
Times
Penn, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that was my skull!
Yeah,
you know,
man.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, the only movie about marijuana that went south was Reefer Madness.
Reefer Madness.
If you have not seen Reefer Madness...
It is freaking hilarious.
Find it.
And it was not a joke.
No. A lot of people that base their opinion on this.
I actually have an ad up. From, I don't know where this, it's an advertisement distributed by the Federal Bureau of Narcotics in 1935. You ready for this?
Yeah, let's hear it.
This, and it's got a picture of somebody holding a joint. This thing may be handed to you by a friendly stranger. Beware, young and old people in all walks of life.
Don't bogart.
It contains the killer drug marijuana.
With an H. Yeah.
A powerful narcotic in which lurks murder, insanity, death. And it has
with exclamation points after each.
After each one.
Propaganda.
You
got to
love it, right? Then a picture of the plant. And it says, warning, dope peddlers are shrewd. They may put some of this drug in the, and it has a picture of a tea kettle.
Nice.
Or in a tobacco cigarette. And it says, write for detailed information, the Interstate Narcotic Association, Chicago, Illinois. 53 West Jackson Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois.
How great is that? Oh my God, what if my kid gets a hold of that?
Murder, insanity, death. It's so ridiculous.
Death by chips.
Do you think those people that did this actually believe that? Obviously, people that read it thought the government was...
Well, that was back when people believed the government.
Right.
You know.
Still, a lot of people do, man.
I don't know anybody that's 100% in.
Well, they probably weren't back then either, but there's certainly some people that are very pro, particularly this government. Yeah. Well, maybe not. It actually has gone down quite a bit, but there's certainly swaths of the country that are.
Well, yeah. It's
really disturbing.
You know, I can't see probably the last president that there was that I can remember that, you know, most of the country, most of the people that you talked to were like, yeah, was Reagan.
It was Reagan.
I'm sure there were people who didn't.
Scary.
People who didn't dig him, but there were a lot of Reagan Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
He did have his issues with Congress and stuff, but, you know, all presidents do.
Yeah.
But you know, since then, I mean, Bush was kind of not even there, but then, you know, a lot of people hated Clinton,
mm-hmm.
you know, and on and on. Not with the hate that Trump generates, however. I haven't seen it be this crazy.
Right. No, well.
Ever.
This is probably for good reason.
Yeah, guy, probably.
Guy's a little bit crazy. And I don't even want to talk about him.
It's a whole different show.
It's sickening. But where Reagan lost me, I think I've said this before, is I always believed he was a pretty good president too. Never believed in the drug war. Then when I actually found out about the drug war and like all the things that went on, he just totally dropped the ball. I'm sorry. Just so you know, it was a terrible policy. The ramping up the drug war is a terrible policy. And then on top of that,
you
throw in Iran-Contra and the fact that the CIA was actually selling cocaine. They were distributing it to, this is a fact. They were distributing it.
Distributing it?
Yeah. Distributing it. Same word.
Different.
Tomato. to actual crack cocaine dealers in urban areas, including Los Angeles, right? That actually pretty much created the crack epidemic, or at the very least helped it explode. That's just so absurd. To have the leader saying, just say no, and then have a major branch of your government.
But it was never proven that he knew it.
Well, still.
Which is scary in its own right.
People close to him had to have. But anyway, that's horrifying to me. And then AIDS, the whole gay plague thing. I mean, he really could have gotten ahead of that.
Well, you know.
I know hindsight's 20/20.
Nothing like that had ever happened before. So.
I know, but he called it the gay plague, and that's kind of scary.
What the thing that you know, he really scared me about was the whole porn thing. He tried to shut down porn. Yeah. I was like, Ronnie, babe.
Yeah,
you can't take my porn.
Yeah, what are you doing?
And porn in the 80s wasn't like it is today. Kids today, they're like, you know, you can have it on your phone anytime you want. Boom, there it is.
Yeah, they don't remember the days when you'd be walking through the woods and you'd find an old beat up magazine and you'd be like, wait, what's that?
Right, exactly. Yeah,
you open up a bit, it'd be half a titty.
It's a wee magazine. You know?
Yeah. That's funny. Anyway,
that was back.
I just wanted to branch off onto that.
All right. So these are some. Obviously, we've been talking about this for coming up on an hour now. So we've covered a lot of these. So you're looking at enforcement over taxes, our legal system, whether it's the FBI, the DEA, any other local authorities. Our court system is basically slammed with these. I think like 40,000 people taking up space in prisons for pot-related convictions.
That's crazy.
It is. So you're housing them, you're feeding them,
not only
you're clothing
that,
them.
Not only that.
They're in and out of court.
You have the whole no-knock raid policy that came up from drugs, because the whole argument for, let me back up a little bit. The creation of the SWAT team was developed for active shooter situations.
Right.
Right? The hostage situations, the really dangerous situations. But they realized that all these municipalities realized they could get money. They started using the SWAT team more for other stuff. So it actually boiled down to the point where what we have today, it's actually a little bit lessened than what it used to be, but literally SWAT teams serving every warrant. SWAT teams serving, there was actually one story, I forget where it was, where they ran up in a barbershop and issued like citations for practicing hair without a license. SWAT team raided the place.
Yeah.
For that. If you have, you know, unauthorized livestock. So crazy stuff like that. And the reason the no-knock raid became a thing was they argued successfully in court that if they knocked, a perpetrator would have time to get rid of their drug-related evidence, right? So they came up with this no-knock raid where as long as they had a warrant, they could serve it and then show the warrant afterwards. So they could execute the warrant and then serve it afterwards. So what you have is a deadly, escalating force, army, basically,
right,
running up in your house. And the thing is, you don't have to have, you know, a bunch of crack cocaine. They just need evidence of drugs, which includes marijuana. And there are plenty of instances where there's one case that really disturbed me, where this guy lived in a duplex. He was a former Marine. He lived there alone with his daughter. And they were looking to serve a warrant on somebody who lived in the duplex. Wasn't his place. They looked outside in the trash can, which of course they're allowed to do because it was on the curb. They found a baggie with a very small amount of marijuana in it, residue, right? X got their warrant because of that.
Right.
Executed a no-knock raid on this dude's door, right? And when they busted in the door, he ran to his daughter's room, told her to hide underneath the bed because he didn't know what was happening, pulled out his rifle, and aimed it at the officer, and they killed him.
Yeah.
And they were in the wrong house. He was just protecting his kid. And they got to that point, they were escalating it to that point, that amount of violence for marijuana residue in a bag.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the drug war has gotten us to.
Well, that's the thing. You know, these no-knock raids, and like you're talking about, that very instance. You know, dude, somebody bangs on my door and busts my door in. You know what I'm reaching for?
Oh, dude, by the way, they didn't kill the dude. The dude killed the cop.
Oh, the dude killed the cop.
Yeah, and he went to jail for life. He actually just got his sentence commuted. They did not take it away, but they did commute it. But he served 25 years or something.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Unless you identify yourself coming through the door.
If you bust my door down, I can't guarantee what I'm going to do. I don't know. Who's ever been in that situation? You can't put people in that situation.
Right. No, if you bust through the door and yell, police! Okay.
Even so. But so there's been cases where people have done that and they weren't cops.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? So, like, what do you... If my kid's involved... I don't know, man. And then you got cases where they're throwing flashbangs in. And, of course, the famous one was it landed in the crib with the baby and burnt the baby's face. You know, that's another podcast as well.
It's right, talking the about whole militarization of local of police.
If yeah. you're interested in it, I kindly encourage everybody to read this book by Radley Balco called The Rise of the Warrior Cop. It's really, really good.
Yet disturbing.
It is, but it highlights the whole history of the SWAT department, and the guy who actually invented it was an LA cop. I can't remember what his rank was, but, he has since come out against the SWAT team and has been like, yo, this is not what this is for.
Yeah. It's escalated to the
this
point
is for
ridiculous.
What happened in Delaware, a week or so ago, where that guy killed a police officer in broad daylight at a Wawa and then
literally 2 miles from here.
Yeah. Super close. And drove to his house and barricaded himself in and started shooting at police. Then, yes, call the SWAT team.
Right.
Absolutely. We need somebody with some armored tanks and firefight.
One week ago, we were here doing our draft show.
Yeah.
And Lyle's like, that. You know, at the time, the guy was, it was his parents' house, actually. And I knew people who live in that neighborhood.
Me too. Yeah.
And you know, you said then, he was like, oh, that dude's not walking out of there.
No way. Yeah. No, they're going to kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you know,
I said if he gets out of there, he better walk out of there completely naked, with his hands sky high.
Yeah, he didn't. He walked out shooting.
Yeah,
and, you know,
and they killed him.
And he did.
Did you ever see pictures of that house?
I did. Yeah.
Jesus,
did you see that? Somebody took a Google Street View of like what it looked like before.
I didn't see that.
It was beautiful.
Oh wait, no, I did see a side by side. Yeah, it's a really nice house. Right. Really nice neighborhood.
Not so much now. I wonder if homeowners insurance covers that.
No, I'm guessing no.
I'm guessing probably not.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's holes in it because they drove machines.
There's not just holes in it, dude. It's not even...
No, I'm not talking about bullet holes. I'm talking about...
Okay,
like,
yeah.
They drove, you know, mechanized...
They blew out all the windows. Right. Yeah, they tore off the siding and tore into the plywood. I mean, there's big gaping holes in the in the house. It is completely destroyed.
Now, I don't know about... You know, I'm not a structural engineer, but I'm thinking maybe the best thing to do is just level the damn thing.
I don't think you can fix it, man.
No.
Yeah, that'd be
taking
a lot
down
of
the foundation.
I can't imagine how many bullets they fired at that house, but there was an awful lot of bullet holes in it, and those things don't stop at the siding.
Well, you know, that's, if you use the hollow nose, they kind of stop on impact.
I'm sure they were using rounds that would penetrate.
Well, they didn't want to penetrate too much because there's houses behind that house.
Yeah, I think they know what they're doing. Yeah, besides, shooting in safety is not really a concern of the police. They had evacuated the place anyway.
That's true.
Yeah, they just shoot. You know, whatever happens, happens. No, I'm not judging those officers, man. I mean, they did what they had
to
do.
No, absolutely. Yeah,
and I feel really bad for that cop and his family. You know, I mean, I beat up on police a lot, but what happened to that cop was totally messed up. But to bring it back around, I have no idea what his motives were for shooting that cop, but I would bet it was drug-related.
Yeah, probably.
We
haven't heard about the passenger in that dude's car.
No. Well, apparently they met there.
I see.
So, again, seems like it was a little bit drug-related.
Right.
He hopped in the dude's car. You know what I mean? But that dude was driving a Charger, not the white whatever piece of crap the other dude was driving, the guy who shot the cop.
Right.
So, he apparently, and this is what I read in the news journal, so I don't know how true it is, but he apparently
told... Our local newspaper is a real piece of shit.
It really is. Yeah. But he told the cop, you know, his car was over there, and the cop tried to get him out of the car. A scuffle ensued, and he pulled a piece and fired... I don't know if he hit the cop initially or not, but he did follow him and fired several more shots and killed him. Yeah, it's super messed up.
Well, I'm thinking justice was served a couple days later.
It 100% was. I feel bad for the cop, his family, and I feel bad for that dude's family because they didn't sign on for this either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
And, you know,
and their house is trash. They lost their kid.
Right. You know. There's no upside there.
Nope.
Bringing it back around.
Yeah, let's do it.
Weed is a gateway drug, but not in the way that you think. You know, basically, most weed arrests, basically, you're in, you're out. It's a minor offense, not really requiring prison time. If you have a joint or just a couple things, no judge is really going to throw the book at you if you have a small amount. There's not a whole lot of statistics out about it, but there's tens of thousands of harmless people, you know, sitting next to...
You're sitting across from one.
Right, sitting
I
next...
I was arrested for possession of marijuana.
Really?
8 ounces of marijuana.
Wow.
Yep.
That's half a pound to you and me.
No, it's not. 8 ounces isn't half a pound. It was a quarter. Quarter ounce.
16 ounces is a pound, dude.
Okay, so it is a half pound. I guess it was a half ounce. Or yeah. No. Sorry. I'm an idiot. 8 grams.
That's a whole... Because if you had 8 ounces...
Did I say ounces?
Yeah, you
my
did.
Bad. No. My bad. Yeah, I've been a half pound. No. Yeah, it was 8 grams. It was a quarter.
Sitting here disagreeing with me on how... Yeah,
7.5.
Yeah. Anyway. Precise. So anyway, it's a gateway drug in this way. So if you're a person who was arrested and convicted of a marijuana crime, basically, you know, you're a dude who sells to your friends. If you get popped... You know, you saw the TV show Weed...
Mm-hmm.
If you're Nancy Botwin and you're selling to your friends,
that was a good show.
It was. I miss that show.
Yeah, me too.
And you get busted, so you're going to be in prison next to murderers, rapists, you know, the dregs of society.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to learn in there?
Not
once
to be
you
a
have
criminal.
That record,
that's what happened to the dude in Blow.
Right.
Right. I mean, he obviously was smuggling a large amount of marijuana.
Right. It's a little bit different, but you know. So you know, it's good not to have peaceful people. Not be in prison. Wait a minute. It's good to... Anyway, I think you get the point.
Keep peaceful people out of prison.
Right. Let's see. Marijuana not being legal cost a bunch just from what we talked about as far as government costs for DEA and law enforcement, local law enforcement, court costs, lawyers.
Drug testing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's another funky thing. So say you're on the Denver Broncos and marijuana is legal in Colorado.
Yep.
You still get drug tested for
weed. I actually was reading today.
And so do other businesses.
They're strongly pushing for use of marijuana in the NFL, and they should. There's no reason they shouldn't. But that's another really weird thing about laws surrounding driving under the influence.
Right.
Police are allowed to take your blood, which to me feels like a violation of, is that the Sixth? The right...
I kind of want a warrant to give up any bodily fluid.
They can take it. I'm just telling you.
In what state?
I don't know all the rules around. I'm sure some states it's legal, some states it's not. But I do know in certain areas they are absolutely allowed to take your blood.
Wow.
And you cannot refuse.
Well, any more than you can a breathalyzer.
Well, you can refuse a breathalyzer, at the scene.
Never refuse a breathalyzer at the scene. Say, I'm not refusing, but I want to have my lawyer present when I take it.
You can absolutely refuse it at the scene.
You can, but you're automatically guilty if you do.
No, you're not.
Oh, come on, man.
Here's the rule. You don't have to give a breathalyzer until you're under arrest.
Well, they can do that right there.
Well, they can, right, and they have to take you to the station, and then you give it. So there's actually a, it's a really cool.
Which is what I'm saying. I want to do it in front of my lawyer.
Here's a really cool thing. There's actually a rule in place, and I don't know all the ins and outs about it, and I could be totally talking out of my ass. But the rule is, because you may have just taken that drink and have some of it in your mouth, and it may affect the breathalyzer, there has to be a set amount of time between when you last had your drink and when you have the breathalyzer. That's why if they give you a breathalyzer at the scene, they always give you another one when you're at the station.
Right.
The breathalyzer at the scene, you're giving evidence against yourself.
Right.
The one at the station, when they're actually booking you, is mandatory. So you don't have to do any of that walk on a line, let me shine the light in your eyes. You don't do any of that stuff.
Right.
That is you,
well, you know, you can, if
willfully.
You, if you have a wintergreen or peppermint, that'll blow positive on the
scene. It might.
Yeah.
That is you incriminating yourself.
Let me rephrase. Those things they have in bars where you take the straw and you pop it in and you blow,
right.
That will blow positive with a mint. I don't know about the
right.
The
yeah.
cops.
Who knows? Yeah.
How sensitive.
What I'm just saying is, obviously, because of the Fifth Amendment in the United States, you are not obligated to give evidence against yourself.
Right.
You have a right to remain silent. And you have a right not to participate in any of that stuff. You have a right to refuse searches. You know, all those things.
I had this conversation with my oldest son. I said,
yeah.
Don't talk to cops.
Yeah, don't talk to them.
You know,
a cop will tell you that.
Don't ever submit to a search of your car.
Never.
Ever, ever. Why not? If I don't have anything, what difference does it make? I say, you don't know what that cop's thinking.
Yep. Don't ever. If they ask you, because believe me, if they had probable cause, they won't ask.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
They'll go right into your car. You know, even if they don't sometimes. You know, I've been in cars that have been searched before when I was a teenager. The Middletown cops back then had nothing to do. They would pull us over all the time because they knew we were more than likely up to something that was
nefarious.
Know, well, not really nefarious, but certainly illegal.
Right.
You know, again, everybody smoked weed. So, you know, they tried to take me to jail one time for rolling papers. No weed in the car, no weed on me, just found me with rolling papers. And this was back before it was illegal to smoke when you were under the age of 18. I told them no. And they were like, throw it away or you go to jail. And I went, no, these are legal. I bought them at the gas station. You can't make me throw these away. It's my property. And they got real mad, you know, but they couldn't do anything. You know what I mean? So they might get pissed at you, but you should not talk to them.
Yeah.
Even when a cop walks up to you, we're getting way off topic here, but when a cop walks up to you and they pulled you over and they go, do you know how fast you were going? They're asking you to implicate yourself in speeding. That's exactly what they're doing.
The answer is, do you know why I pulled you over? No, officer, I do not.
Right. The answer is, I don't answer questions. That's the answer. Now, more often than not, you might get a cop that's going to go, okay, well, I'm just going to write you a ticket for the maximum. Yeah, okay. You know what I mean? So, you know, use your better judgment. If it's a taillight, you know, just be like, yeah, whatever. It's a taillight. Sorry.
Well, the thing is, you know, even if, I don't know what the percentage is, but I'm sure 98% of cops are just fine. Upstanding fellas.
Yeah, and I know a bunch of cops.
So do I. And
awesome
I
people.
Like every one of them.
Yeah, man. Awesome
but you
people.
Know what? You never know that you're going to get that one dude, you know?
Yeah.
Who, you know, wants to make sergeant or, you know what I mean?
I had a dude that just was in a bad mood one day. And he pulled me over for driving with had just passed. My tag expired. I didn't even realize it. And I was like, oh, he was like, you know, your tag's expired. And I was like, I did not know. Sorry. You know what I mean? My bad. And he was like, well, you can't be driving this. I'm going to have to tow it. And I was like, dude, you're going to tow my car. It's like 5 days. What are you talking about? And he tried to open my door. And I was like, dude, what are you doing? Like, you can't open my door. And he was like, well, we'll see about that. And he went back to his car and he came back and gave me a ticket for like $150. Right. And I was like, okay. And I literally looked at him and I went, dude, you okay? You having a bad day, man? Because, I mean, this doesn't seem like this requires this level of anger. Like, my tag's expired. I'm not.
Well, you know what, dude? Knowing you for as long as I have, just looking at you can inspire
right,
a
can.
Level of anger.
Right. Just
you can just kind of ratchet
curious,
it up.
But I still don't to this day know why that dude did that. You know? But you know, a lot of cops go to my gym and they're awesome people, man. Awesome people, man. You know, and I was genuinely super concerned about him because, one of my really good friends there is a Middletown cop.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
you thought he may have been
the sergeant.
Guy?
Yeah. No. He wasn't the guy. He's not a state trooper.
Didn't know if he knew him or whatever, right?
Well, no. Everything went down in Middletown. He's a sergeant in Middletown.
Oh, I see.
So I was like, dude, he might be out there.
Yeah.
You know?
More than likely was.
He might have been. I don't know. I haven't talked to him about it. You know, but anyway, I digress.
Okay. So, taxing it, you know, there are some suggestions, reports suggesting that upwards of $7 billion a year the government could make if they just tax it like they do cigarettes.
Right.
Now, $7 billion over the court, when you're talking about, you know, the federal government's budget, $7 billion is like, I saw that, you know.
Can you get a plane for that? Probably not.
No. I mean, you're talking about, you know, if the entire federal budget is a football field, $7 billion would be like a penny.
Nah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Dude, we're talking trillions of dollars.
Yeah,
here.
It is.
Right. So $7 billion isn't a lot. But, you know, you're talking about just the state of Delaware. They say, well, it could bring in $20 million a year.
Right.
But our shortfall is $350 million, so it's not going to do much for you. But you know what? Every little bit helps.
Sure it does.
You know? And why does a state the size of Delaware have a $350 million shortfall anyway? But that's a different topic.
Yeah.
Another reason to legalize prohibition isn't really stopping intake anyway.
It never has. It never has with anything.
You cannot legislate morality. People are going to do what they're going to do.
They prohibited homosexuality. They prohibited alcohol. They prohibit all kinds of stuff. And guess what? People still do it.
Right.
Stop telling people what to do.
Marijuana is less addictive than plenty of legal things. We already know that it's not physically addictive.
Right.
But you can get emotionally attached
maybe
to the high.
Maybe psychologically, yeah, something.
Right, you can.
Again, people will overdo it.
Some people will, yeah. But they'll overdo everything.
Did
some
you ever
people...
see that celebrity rehab show?
God, did I? No, I don't think so. That's not my kind of show.
That's where that dude was in there.
Oh, Joey Pants?
Yeah. No, not him. It was another dude, but he said it on the show. He was a famous actor, the dude from Taxi.
That was in The Sopranos?
He wasn't in The Sopranos.
Oh.
He was a dude from Taxi.
Christopher Lloyd?
Nope. Other guy.
Danny DeVito?
Nope.
Judd Hirsch?
Maybe. He's kind of tall, lanky, brown hair.
Jeff, what's his name?
Okay. That
Conway.
Dude. Maybe Jeff Conway. You should look up the video if you haven't seen it.
I know way more about Taxi than I thought I did.
I know, right? But anyway, there's a really funny scene where he's arguing with one of the chicks on the show, and he goes, "You're a hoo." I mean, it's beautiful. But anyway, there was one where Julia Roberts' brother was in there.
Eric Roberts.
I think
he just did a movie last year in Middletown.
Did he? That's cool. I'm pretty sure it was him. But anyway, all these people were in there for, you know, heroin, cocaine, alcohol. He was in there for weed. So all these people are freaking out. They're doing all this stuff. And here he is, like, reading the paper. He's totally fine, dude. Didn't care. I was eating cereal, just like, just minding his day. Brilliant stuff, dude. It's actually comedic how fine and normal he was compared to everybody else freaking out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
That's pretty funny. I want to, one more thing about Taxi, and I just kind of remember this. Is it Mary Lou Henner? Mary Lou Henner, who played the female lead in Taxi, she is one of those people who remembers everything about every day she's ever lived.
Really?
She remembers. You could give her a date. There was a show on TV a couple years ago about a cop that was like that. She remembers everything. If you say, you know, November 25th, 1986, she'll say, that was a Tuesday. We filmed the show, and then I went out to lunch with this person. She remembers every day of her life.
Hmm. Very interesting.
A freaking amazing.
That is, I don't know that I'd want that.
You know.
Depends on how much trauma you've had, I guess.
Yeah, well. I mean, everybody has, you know, certain amounts of trauma, I guess, right? So anyway, that has nothing to do with weed. So anyway, weed has been proven to be not bad for you. Of course, if you smoke it, you know, you're bringing smoke into your lungs, which is probably not the best thing. But
well, but again, it's not cancerous.
Right.
Right? I don't know. I guess jury's still out on things like COPD. But you right. just read it may actually help reverse lung cancer, I think you said.
There are some studies that mm-hmm. suggest that, yeah. Let's see. It has demonstrated health benefits, which we already went over. It's halfway legal already, and we're okay. So basically, I'm reading this from a website called Heat Street. It's just, I like the list, because it kind of speaks my language. So if you want to check it out and read most of it, it's heatst.com. why weed should be legal. Search there and you can read the rest of it. But basically, you know, Colorado's been legal for what now, like 5 years? When did Colorado come in?
I don't think so.
Colorado and Washington, 4 or 5 years. And all these other states are bringing in, and there's really not been, you know, a catastrophe. There's not been any cataclysmic, you know, breakdown in society. So that was,
you're right, it's 5 years, November 6, 2012. Wow.
It's amazing how quickly time passes when you hit 40, isn't it?
Well, I just turned 40, so.
Yeah. The majority of Americans are now for legalization in some form or another, whether complete recreational use or medical. Most of the United States is all for it.
Do you remember when they said it supported terrorism?
Well, illegal, you know, who knows what cartel.
I'm not buying it.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's just trying to capitalize on a narrative.
Yeah, they just wanted to bring terrorism into it. Oh, now it's terror. Terror. Yeah, it's so ridiculous.
And also, probably the most important reason why why weed should be legal is it makes movies better. It says here, even Adam Sandler movies.
Oh, I imagine especially Adam Sandler movies. Yeah. They would be hilarious.
If you could make and watch The Waterboy.
One of my favorite things to
do
back in the day was to get really high and watch movies, of course. You know
cartoons.
What I mean? And I'll never forget.
Why do you think SpongeBob is so popular, dude?
Dude, I couldn't imagine today with things like Uncle Grandpa and Adventure Time.
Squidbillies.
Oh, dude, all of those. Dude, a Rick and Morty. Hmm. Oh, my God. I can't imagine. I imagine the stoner community is just rejoicing with the amount of crazy cartoons that are out there. But I remember one specific time I got super duper baked and went into with my then high school girlfriend. I think it was after high school, whenever Forrest Gump came out. We went to see Forrest Gump. And we're sitting in the theater, and the previews come on, right? And we're like, yay, we're watching a preview. I'm eating popcorn and stuff. And then they went off, and it was 45 minutes before the movie came on. The projectionist had apparently fallen asleep. Maybe he was baked, too. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
But the movie didn't start. And then the movie started. Now, I don't know if you remember how long that movie was. Forrest Gump, a runtime of, I don't know, 6 hours. And I don't think my left butt cheek has ever been so asleep in my entire life. Yeah, I basically wasn't even high anymore by the time the movie started.
Yeah. I wonder, you were talking about the year Forrest Gump came out.
Oh, let's look it up.
There it is. The movies that year that were up for Best Oscar.
1994. That was the year I graduated from high school. So, yeah.
So here you go. You got Pulp Fiction was out that year.
Oh, God.
The Shawshank Redemption was out that year.
Stephen King novel, for those of you who are not aware.
That's true. It was Rita Hayworth in The Shawshank Redemption. It was in a book called Four Seasons, I believe.
Was it Four Seasons?
I think so. It was in there with Apt Pupil, which was also made into a movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, by the Nazi dude.
Let's see, Quiz Show with Robert Redford. And Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one, too.
Four Weddings and a Funeral. Hasn't really held up that well, but it was big then.
It was.
And then Forrest Gump.
Wow.
So you got, you know, three real movies, you know, movies that have held up and people just love to this day. One really good movie in Quiz Show, and then Four Weddings and a Funeral. Big year for the movies.
It was a big year, and Forrest Gump took it down.
Yeah, it did.
It won Best Picture, right? It beat Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, it did.
I don't know if I agree with that, but they were both really, really good movies.
Well, you know, I think Forrest Gump is one of those movies that's, you know, a feel-good that everybody can enjoy.
I also don't
My wife hates Tarantino movies.
I don't know that the world was ready for Tarantino at that point. Reservoir Dogs had come out. True Romance,
He wrote, direct.
Right, he wrote that one. But, yeah.
Some people just don't get Tarantino. I love The Hateful Eight, dude.
Dude, me too. I love all of his movies, except for that one where he did the double feature with
Yeah, even that was okay. It was a popcorn movie.
It was okay. But From Dusk Till Dawn, I really enjoy. They recently made that into a TV series, too, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
I also really liked, what was the one with Robert, what the hell was it?
Four Rooms?
No. That was great, too, though.
It was, especially the last scene, the one.
The hotel room deal?
Yeah, the hotel room is this Twilight Zone episode, whole thing.
The guy walked out counting his money.
Yep. Tim Roth.
Yeah, he's great.
He is great.
With Pam Grier.
Oh, you're talking about, hold on. Oh, man. Look, there's people screaming in their cars right now.
Let's see if Google knows.
No, I do know this.
I own it.
Oh, man, it's on it. It's Samuel L. Jackson. It's on the tip of my tongue. Foxy? No, that was her name in the show. Good Lordy.
Jackie Brown.
Jackie Brown, of course. Brown.
Yeah. What makes it great is that movie. Now I can't remember the name of the writer.
The writer of
Jackie Brown.
Jackie Brown?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Also one of my favorite authors now. Of course, I'm drawing a blank.
Let's see. Director. Oh, of course, it doesn't have the writer in it. Elmer Leonard.
Elmer Leonard.
Yeah.
He started out writing westerns.
Yeah, he did.
And then he
branched out.
It's almost like his books are meant for Tarantino.
Was that other movie? Big Shorty?
Get Shorty.
Get Shorty, yeah.
Right.
It was a follow-up to that, too.
Yeah, it was okay. Get Shorty was a great book and a great movie.
Yeah.
I think Travolta was really good for that.
Travolta was good. It wasn't Vince Vaughn in that, too?
No.
Was he?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, he might have been in a different one.
What's her face? Rene Russo was in it, looking hot as always. Yeah. And, of course, Danny DeVito as Shorty.
Right.
You know. So I think we've progressed to the point where we need to just hit this. Because we're talking about movies
Gene
now.
Hackman? That's right.
Gene Hackman was in it. Yeah. And
Dennis Farina?
Dennis Farina was in it. And who was the guy with the limousine? There was two guys who had the limousine company.
I don't remember.
Ah, hell. Anyway, good movies, by the way.
Yeah, man. You haven't
much
seen
better if you're baked. Those movies.
They always are, man.
Just like every other movie.
They always are.
All right, we're out of here. We'll be back in a couple weeks with another episode.
Well, Gene Gandolfini was in it.
He was, right. He was Bear.
I did not remember that, Bear. Yeah. That's right.
He got thrown down the stairs.
Yes, he did. Wow.
Good times. Ah, that's going to drive me crazy now. It's the name of the guy.
You'll figure it out.
You know, I have to look now, though. Hang on.
You got to know right now?
I do. Delroy Lindo.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep, yep.
There we go.
His name was Bo something?
Something like
Bo,
that.
Bo
Catlett.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, great movie. Anyway, all right. Movies suck nowadays.
A lot of them do, dude.
Although I did watch Ghost in the Shell the other day.
That was in the theaters for like a week.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed it. I didn't go into it expecting anything, so I was like, hey, it's kind of a cool action sci-fi.
Well, I was kind of expecting, you know, what you get out of the graphics novels, but, you know.
Well.
Anyway. All right, we're out. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Hope you enjoyed the show. Check us out at yesrandom@twitter.com.
Yeah, other stuff.
Yeah, that's it. Bye.